4 o'clock hour, and Rob Pizzola will join us when he finishes taping another show. And in the meantime, we always start with headlines so that we can try to get him out of the way before Pizzola joins us here. I will give you the code word one more time, though. We're giving you a chance to win a pair of 3-day passes to the Tortuga Music Festival, April 4th, 5th, 6th on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Jelly Roll is performing, Keith Urban, Luke Combs, many, many more. The word today is palm, P-A-L-M. Text the word palm to 20357. That's 20357. Text the word palm. If you need more info, go to WQAM.com. It is a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Here are your 4 o'clock headlines with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
So we have an update on Tua and the fumble and the mishandled snap, if you guys want it.
Oh, they asked him about it?
They did. Yes, Tua was asked about it. New look Tua. This is him, by the way. Tuscaloosa Tua, going back to his college days.
Kind of like a crimson color.
I don't like it.
Well, reserve judgment till we see what happens on Sunday. You may love it.
I can throw for 500. I don't know about the whole hair dyeing thing.
You like Odell when his hair his hair was dyed and he was knocking down receptions like nobody's business?
Don't like his hair. Don't like Joe Burrow. Don't like it. Mm.
Tua has dyed his hair more times this season than balls Odell Beckham Jr. has caught this season.
Maybe him and Odell have a connection now.
That is indisputable.
Tua on the mishandled snap. I'm reading from Marcel Louis Jacques from ESPN. Tua on the mishandled snap that led to a safety versus the Cardinals. Quote, "It wasn't Brew's best," Aaron Brewer, the center, "but it wasn't my best either. It wasn't as easy as it looks when you're sitting at home eating chips."
Oh, so that literally is directed at me.
Yeah, old Tua, blonde Tua, get a little spicy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tua. Okay.
All right,
Tua. Okay.
I'm not, and I know I'm on the wrong side of this, being an ex-athlete. I hate the whole "you can't do what I do, so shut up" thing. Trayvon Diggs did it recently to a reporter. You can't cover any receiver in this league.
But I bristle at that sometimes when somebody texts in and they go, "That segment was terrible. You should be talking about this." And the natural human reaction is, "Well, no, I do this. You don't. Like, I have a show. You don't." Like, so I get that. And so Tua all week, I'm sure, has been hearing about the mishandled snap and whatever. So he's like, "Yeah, it was a little bit of Brewer's fault, a little bit of my fault, and whatever you're talking about at home eating your chips, I know you couldn't do anything. So, slow your roll." I kind of get that.
Yeah, I get it. To that point, I've told somebody that before.
Yeah. It doesn't make me stop, but I get someone saying it.
Yeah. I've hit somebody they say something about radio. Oh, man, you have the easy job. I was like, okay, you got 15 minutes. Start.
Yeah.
Entertain me.
Yeah. Wake up every morning and put together 4 hours of new material. And when I say new material, use a lot of replays and stuff you've been doing year after year after year. But you get the idea.
How many 9 routes did Dan throw? Come on now. You can't reinvent the wheel here.
I think what he's saying is right, by the way. I don't mind him saying it, but he never says stuff like that. He never calls out a fan for their criticism, and now they're feeling the heat a little bit in that facility. Tua came back, and they didn't win the game, and it was kind of on him a little bit, and now he's going to start taking shots at the guy sitting on his couch. I don't know. Just lame to me.
All right. Doesn't matter.
You've dyed your hair before, Solana, guaranteed.
I have not.
Lie.
I have thought
you
about it.
You had frosted.
Jimmy, what about you? Frosted tips?
Frosted tips. I have not.
Jimmy,
I'm telling you.
Would you get frosted tips for the show?
Maybe.
All right. We'll put together a little
Yeah, I got to have a bit of
a little radio bit here. I don't know what it is, but Jimmy with frosted tips. Ooh.
You look good, Jimbo.
Look out, ladies.
You know it.
Yeah.
You need
I don't know what's going on
in
there today with your hair.
Sorry, I was laughing. What did you say?
I'm just not certain what's going on today with your hair. It seems to be coming to a point.
Yeah, it's really short.
Yeah. Well, puff it up a little bit. Just kind of like.
Well, it's hard to when it's short.
Yeah, but just do something. It's annoying me.
Today, it seems like your forehead's winning. Some days your hair is winning.
Yeah.
I'll fix it.
I feel like it's looking in like some sort of funhouse Hispanic mirror. I'm seeing myself in Cuban form.
Let's see your hair, Mark.
Mark. I don't know why it tickles me when people call you Mark.
I always get a kick out of that. Mark.
Well, now let's head over to Rob.
Oh, I love the way he says Mark. My friend Barry, the ticket wizard, always does. Whenever I see him, he goes, "Hello, Mark," because he loves the way Rob Pizzola says that. Rob Pizzola joining us, a professional sports gambler. He comes to us courtesy of Forward Progress, which is part of the Hammer Betting Network. Forward Progress produces daily NFL betting content to keep you informed and help you get a step up on the books. I could use that kind of help. Check out Forward Progress on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
That's our little nod to Seinfeld, for those who don't know. He's doing Newman at Jerry's door.
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah, I don't know how that, it just happened like spontaneously. We never planned that. Yeah. It just turned into something. But yeah, it's I never know what I'm getting into when I join this show, honestly.
It's never sports. You know that.
Yeah, it was Solana's shirt and tie clip last week. It's Jimmy's hair this week. I don't know what it'll be next time around. But yeah. You just never know.
You want to finish up the headlines real quick, Solana? And I'll get on to picking some games with Rob.
Yeah, I'll just say that the Dolphins injury report was released, and nothing out of the ordinary has shown up. The Toronto Armstead Calais Campbell on the injury report didn't practice because of rest. There is a knee for Toronto Armstead, but rest is there as well. Julian Hill dealing with a shoulder injury. Tyreek Hill is just listed as rest, which is good news. And Javon Holland, we know from Mike McDaniel, hand and knee injury. Don't expect them to play this Sunday. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Nice afternoon in South Florida. Tonight, the lows will drop into the upper 70s. Heat Knicks tonight, 7:30, by the way, on this station. That's your weather.
Oh, there are finally some props listed for the Dolphins. There's a Tua rushing prop that just got listed because we were joking. When Tua ran on Sunday, Rob texted me. He's like, "I can't believe that Tua just ran." But we never bet a rushing prop because there was never one listed for Tua last week. And if it was a half, I would have bet the under, Rob. And you know I love a QB rushing over. I would have bet everything I have that he was not going to take off, not once. The over-under is listed at 5.5 to a rushing on Sunday. Anybody interested in touching that?
Well, he's now shown the ability that like that it's on the table for him, and it's a big divisional game. So I think if you had, you know, any inclination to bet that earlier on in the year and thought that that was a big edge, I don't know what would stop you from betting it now, considering
because that's lower than earlier in the year too when I was betting the overs. That makes sense. So you don't. You always talk about recency bias and whatever. If there's something you love, you probably stick with it because you loved it for a reason.
Yes. So I think especially in the props markets, right, this isn't picking the side and total of an NFL game. So sides and totals, these are generally large markets, right? If I wanted to go bet the spread in Miami-Buffalo right now, I could easily get, I'm not saying I'm betting this amount, but I could easily get down six figures on the spread in that game across multiple sports books. If I wanted to go bet a Tua rushing prop, well, one sports book might give me a couple $100, another might. These are markets that are less efficient because the sports book's not paying a ton of attention to it, and it doesn't attract professional bettors as much as the, you know, the big sides and totals market would. So if you're really in tune with a team and you're seeing stuff, you might actually capture something that the rest of the market isn't, and you can continuously bet this over and over until people eventually start to catch on. And that happens all the time in sports. And I think for you, Mark, if your perception is that, hey, he has a, you know, higher willingness to take off and run this year, then I would bet that, because that's something that potentially you have found that is not captured in the market yet.
Are we the dumbest sports gambling show or pod that you appear on each week? Because you do explain stuff that we just don't know, but it's actually, you're in the industry. So, I mean, like, we come from such a different place on this. Are we the dumbest, least knowledgeable gamblers that you speak with on a consistent basis?
That's a really hard question to answer. Nowadays, I hate to say it, but probably yes.
Yeah.
So I first found you guys, I want to say 5 years ago, when I was, I had just taken over Prediction Machine.
Right.
And I had a PR guy that had reached out to all these different US radio stations to have me on, take over the previous, I don't know if you guys ever had Paul Basir on with
all
you.
All the time.
Okay. So I took over for
and
him.
And then all of a sudden, like, you know me, I like to make fun of someone if they got a pick wrong the week before or whatever. Well, he was very sensitive, and then he blocked me. He blocked me on Twitter.
Well,
but I thought that was only fair. If I was bringing the guy on every week and he had a stinky week, then I wanted to tell everybody, "Yeah, you had a lousy week." Whatever. And he was very prickly.
I actually think, honestly, not only is it fair, I think that there's an onus on you to do that, to be real with your audience. You can't just bring on someone who is losing every week and parade them around as a winner. You have to be real with people. I mean, I really believe in that with sports betting content. But I remember I took over his like media run, and I was doing 60 to 80 radio hits per week across the US. And you guys would have been like 80th percentile smart relative to some of these markets I was going on. And some of these people, they were just filling time on their shows. The host clearly never gambled or even knew what a point spread was. Like, those were a real chore to get through. At least I know you guys bet. I mean, you don't have to be professional bettors, but you kind of get what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the games. I just had interviews where there was five questions that they had done beforehand, and I could have said anything in response to those, and it's like they weren't even listening to them. Okay, what's the next question? Let's go through it here. So I actually really appreciate coming on with you guys, because it's more of a conversation than an interview.
Yeah, it's definitely.
We get to some gambling after a while.
Definitely.
Detours. I mean, you're not a great bettor. I'm going to call it off.
No, not at all. In fact, so I started the show today. I told the fellas. So Sunday I got wiped out, lost everything that I had in my Hard Rock account. I get silly. And I do this at blackjack too. I'm the guy who, if I'm down 400, well, now I need to bet 400 so I can get it back real quick. And now I'm down 800, so I need to bet 800. Like, I get impatient. Mm-hmm. So I blew everything on Sunday. I could not pick a winner, and so I said, I got to punish myself. I can't put more money in the account. I will by Sunday, of course. But you know, Monday, Tuesday, now we're at Wednesday. I got to punish myself a little bit. Not fair for, you know, my wife to see more deposits going into gambling accounts. But I got lucky. She crashed her car last night. She
very
drove
lucky.
Into a
lucky thing. Yeah.
She drove into a planter. She went to dinner with friends and she drove into a planter. So we took it to the body shop today, $1,500. I go, well, there's my green light. You spend your $1,500 your way, I'll spend my money my way, and we're good to go. So I actually will be back in the game by this weekend.
What a blessing the universe handed down to you with your wife getting into an accident.
He's crazy, Rob.
When the guy said to us, this guy Butch we've gone to before, when he goes 15 and she goes 15 what? And I go 1500, but I'm thinking to myself, jack it up a little bit more. Yeah, because yeah.
Tell her 2500, you know, that way I could deposit the same amount.
Let's go all in here, Butch. What are we doing?
Yeah. Around? The first person that was ever that has to get 1500 in car repairs that doesn't care. Like, please, more. Yeah, add some extra tax on this one.
Yeah, I was missing my gambling the last few nights. But I don't have a problem, so I have to punish myself. But
that's debatable. But
by Saturday or Sunday, I'll be back. Yeah. Did you have either side? I want to get to picks, but did you have either side of the Bears Commanders game?
Yeah.
On Sunday, lost in the Hail Mary.
Yeah, I had the Bears.
Had the Bears.
Yeah. Mm. I've lost on like Hail Marys before, so I'm honestly kind of numb to it. I'll be real with you. Like I saw the video circulating on, you know, Instagram, people like ripping the TV off the wall and stuff like that. I just kind of sat in silence for about 30 seconds trying to process what I just watched.
You had a significant bet?
It was decent sized bet. Yeah. Not the biggest, but I also, you know, I had a good Sunday this week, so that contributes to it as well, right? Because if it was already a bad day and then that's the last game that's going off, and that loses, it's compounding. But I had a good Sunday, so I kind of just, you know, walked away laughing from that one a little bit. But yeah, it stings. What are you gonna do? It wasn't the right side anyways, honestly. Washington pretty much dominated the game.
You see all the miserable videos, but it does make some bettors happy, because that's an amazing cover.
But no one ever remembers when they won on the Hail Mary.
Right.
It's, you know, prior to betting, when I was in my early 20s, I played poker for a living, right? I grew up in like the Chris Moneymaker boom and I played poker. I can't tell you the biggest hands I ever won in poker. I don't remember them. I could tell you the biggest hands I lost. Like I can remember those with precision, like who was sitting to my left, right? And that's the same as sports bettors. Every sports bettor is conditioned to think that the world is against them. I have the worst luck. It's everyone but themselves. You know, you're clicking the bets yourself. Ask every sports bettor. They're the unluckiest person. They never win. Bad luck. This and that. That's just the way we're wired as sports bettors.
I guess you're right.
Rob, you've been gambling for decades. Do you have like a 1992 AFC championship game bad beat or something? Just something that pops up when you think about that?
I don't, because when I was young, I used to lose so much money that I actually remember I'll call it the bailout game for me, which was, you guys would remember, it was the Lakers playing the Spurs in the playoffs, and Derek Fisher hit a three-pointer with, I want to say, 0.4 seconds left in the game. I was down a lot of money, and people, don't do this, by the way, just for the audience out there. I was down a lot, and I'm like, I'm going to put this all on one game to try to win my money back, and it's very uncomfortable. I think Tim Duncan hit a bucket for the Spurs with 0.4 seconds to go ahead in that game. And I was already thinking, I'm like, well, now I got to tell my dad how much I owe and I got to figure out something. And then inbounds goes to Derek Fisher, turnaround three, hits it. All my problems go away. That was like a reset for me in life. So that win I will always remember, but I don't remember like any other huge, I had like one really random loss that I can remember was the dumbest bet. Is like a 4-game tease, 13-point teaser. It was a Bills Raiders game and the game was a complete blowout. I would have won my bet, but the backups were in the game. And I want to say the running back was Zach Crockett, I think. And he broke off like a 15, 20 yard run to get in the red zone. And he was amped up. Like they could have knelt out the game. But he's like going back, like, feed me the ball. And he scored like a useless touchdown to blow up my teaser. I'll never forgive Zach Crockett for that. That's the one that I remember, which was a real, but it was a horrible bet on my part. And as I've gotten older, I just realized, I made a terrible bet. But I remember he broke off a huge run and he was amped. Like the game was over, but he never gets any playing time. So he's like, you know, feed me the ball. Give me the ball again. They gave him the ball and he scored a touchdown on the next play. So,
hey, strategically, Crowder had a bet for the Dodgers to win the World Series. And so they're up 3-0. Strategically, is that a good time to hedge? Because you can cash some tickets while still winning your bet.
So my opinion on hedging is it's a good time to hedge if you believe that the other bet still has value. So here's my process when hedging, right? First of all, if it's life-changing money, I would always encourage someone to hedge a bet, right? If you're not going to be able to go to sleep afterwards because you lost your bet and you had a chance to cash out or hedge, then just do it for your own personal sanity. But in situations where you want to like this is a very good position, right? You're up 3-0. Maybe you're talking about pre-series if you wanted to hedge or something like that. But you have to believe that the side that you're hedging on also has value. Don't just hedge for the sake of hedging is what I get at, because then you're paying VIG again. The first time you made your bet, you paid VIG. And now to hedge, you have to pay VIG again. So you're actually reducing your expected value. But there's no right or wrong answer to this. That's just the way that I'm conditioned when it comes to hedging bets.
All right, let's...
I got a good amount on the Dodgers in the last series.
Right.
When they were, you know, when they were about to go to the World Series. So I got a great number. And now they're up 3-0. And I'm like, should I bet the, you know, something on the Yankees? And now I can hit them. I could have hit them for game four and still have the Dodgers.
And still
in the
cash
series.
The ticket afterwards. Yeah.
I like, to me, it always comes down to that individual game. Forget you had the Dodgers bet on the series. If you like the Yankees in game four, bet them in game four, irrespective of your other bet, is what it comes down to. Like, I just don't like throwing a bet in the case
you.
Of a
hedge. Don't bet it just because you have the other side.
Exactly.
All right. How about the Dolphins game on Sunday? Dolphins are 6-point dogs in Buffalo.
So I played a little bit of the under in this game. I played it candidly at 50.5. It's now 49.5. And this is not really to do with, I think the Dolphins defense is amazing or anything like that. This is more to do with the way that the Bills play this year. It would be probably to be a shock to people if they looked at the Bills' final scores in the last 5 weeks and realized that there hasn't been a single Bills game that's gone over 45 points. And that's because they don't have the explosive plays downfield anymore. They run the ball a lot. Josh Allen throws underneath a lot. There's been a big emphasis this season on protecting the football. This was the problem for Buffalo last year. Too many shots downfield that resulted in interceptions. So they play slow and methodical. It's still an efficient offense, but takes them a lot of time to score points. And on the other side of things, it's a tough matchup for Miami. Buffalo's getting Von Miller back. The Bills are one of few teams in the league that can consistently rush four and still generate pressure. They have three very good cover corners who are equipped to handle the receiving core for Miami. I mean, you look at Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford, Teron Johnson. That's a very good group of corners that they can match up against Miami here with. So I don't think there's going to be a ton of explosive plays in this game. I thought the total was a little too high, so I played the under. I know you guys might not want to do this, but you have access to the Hard Rock app in Florida. There's a bet that I like there, but it would involve Buffalo winning in a blowout type of game. And that's Ray Davis, who's the backup running back for the Bills, to score the last touchdown in the game at 20-1. And that's actually a very good number at Hard Rock. If you were to look at other sites, you see 11-1, 14-1. But this would require the Bills to be up by a couple touchdowns. It's happened this year where Ray Davis gets a lot of carries in the fourth quarter. It happened in the first game against the Dolphins, actually, when Tua got hurt, where Ray Davis was the workhorse in the fourth quarter. So that, to me, it's a long shot. It probably won't win, but it shouldn't be priced at 20-1. I think that's a really good value bet.
Hey, Crowder, let me hold a couple thousand, huh?
I got you, brother.
By the way, as soon as I said that bet, I got this bet. I saw you guys both pull out your phones right away. Like, look down.
Well, I have 46 cents in my account.
Locked in. Too much. We locked in, baby.
Can't do much. I'll stick with the AFC East for today. How about the Jets? They play tomorrow night. That whole place is a dumpster fire, but they're 2-point favorites hosting the Texans.
Yeah, some people are really shocked at the line, right? They're like, how is the 2-6 team favored or the 6-2 team? This is just purely cluster injuries at receiver for Houston at this point, right? They already have Nico Collins out of the lineup. They lose Stephon Diggs, and now they have to play on a short week with a very battered wide receiver room against very good cover corners for the Jets as well. I don't like anything in this game, personally. I think the market is kind of in the right spot right now. Should there be some money that comes in on Houston and this goes back out towards Pick'em, I'll probably bet the Jets in this game. People don't realize how these, like losing your number one and two receiver. I know Nico Collins has been out for a while now, but losing Diggs is huge for that offense because they don't have the explosiveness that they had last year. Everything is underneath. They take tons of negative plays on offense. They have the most offensive holding penalties in the league. They take a lot of sacks. So to me, it's a Jets or nothing type of game, but I don't want to bet them at this price.
It strikes me just looking at the line as that would be 85% of the public on Houston because it looks wrong, but it doesn't sound like that's actually the case the way that you're explaining it.
Well, when something looks wrong, there's usually a rational explanation for it, but people put to, like, I couldn't even, I said the records of these teams, but I only said them because I heard them on another podcast earlier today. I wouldn't have known what the records are. When I bet on sports, I don't care what the team record is. I'm just looking at the matchup between the two. And Houston has, this is not the same team as last year. Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, he's very, he calls very safe plays. Let's put it at that. Especially if second and long, they're going to run the ball every time. And CJ Stroud just cannot convert these third and longs over and over. He couldn't do it when Nico Collins was there. Now he doesn't have Collins and Diggs. And that's a real challenge for Houston's offense. So, you know, I missed the boat on the Jets line, so I'm a little bit disappointed. But for me, if I had to play it, I'd be playing the Jets.
All right. Finally, for the AFC East, the Patriots are 3.5-point dogs. They're at Tennessee.
I think a lot of people will also look at this and be like, how the heck are the Titans favored by, you know, 3.5 over everyone? They lost 52-14 last week against the Lions, which was maybe one of the weirdest box scores you'll see in a long time. The Lions had over 200, you know, return yards in that game. The Titans actually played fairly well for most of the first half, but their special teams had one of the worst performances we've ever seen. What I'm hoping happens here is Drake May gets confirmed as in. He did get a concussion in last week's game. Looks like he's going to clear protocol. The market values Drake May higher than Jacoby Brissett, which I agree with. I think Drake May is, you know, has more potential, but behind this offensive line, they can't do anything. The Titans' D-line is very good. I'm hoping to get a 3 on Tennessee in this game if Drake May gets confirmed in. That's the bet that I'll likely be making. Just because the Patriots, they don't have a defense, which the Titans actually do. They don't have an O-line, and the Titans isn't the greatest either, but there really is a gap between these two teams, even though Tennessee has been really bad this year. And also you look at who Tennessee's played in the last few weeks as well. That contributes to the way that people look at them. I mean, they get blown out by Detroit and they get blown out by Buffalo. And they, when they played Indy, they played Joe Flacco's Indy as well. That's their three games since the bye. So I think Tennessee's at like a really low point right now. So I'm waiting for the 3 on the Titans.
Rob Pizzola, they celebrate Halloween in Canada?
We do celebrate Halloween, yes, in Canada. Yeah. I'm going to be dressing as a beaver this year in to honor the Canadian tradition of dressing as a beaver.
That's very nice. What will you be giving away at the Pizzola household for trick-or-treaters? Is it gabagool or what?
I'm actually going to be on air this year. So I hate to do this. I honestly, it's one of the most pathetic moves an adult male can
Don't
make.
Tell me you're putting the lights out on the porch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know why? Last year, I did this like 5 years ago. Right after COVID, I lost the time, but I put out a bowl on a night where I couldn't do it. And I had the security camera. The first kid took the whole bowl. It was gone. And then you look like a complete idiot with the lights on and there's no bowl there anymore. Right. That's the even worse situation. So
I took the actual bowl?
Took the full bowl. The bowl itself was put into a garbage bag. I had the camera pointing right up. Immediately, I wasn't home. I'm watching the camera. I'm like, let's see what happens. First kid, boom, gone, later.
What kind of neighborhood you live in, Rob? Yeah,
that's a bad beat. No, that's a bad beat on Halloween.
It is a bad beat.
Yeah, that's a Halloween bad beat.
I like to answer the door and, you know, evaluate the costumes. The kids who put on like put a lot of effort into it, sometimes I'll give them the full size candy bar. You know, I like when I grew up, I loved Halloween. I like when kids put effort. Now, listen, not every kid can afford the nicest costume. I just care about the effort. You know, don't put on a LeBron James jersey and come to my door and say trick or treat, you know?
Right.
Give me some effort. That's what I'm looking for.
I like to do the, oh, look at you. What are you dressed at? Because I don't recognize anything. Everybody's from Disney. I haven't seen any Disney shows in forever. Now, what are you? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a hobo. I knew it.
I do love Halloween, though. I'm disappointed. It's Thursday night football. I'll have to be working. So, yeah, unfortunate.
Wow. No bowl out by the door, huh?
Man, I put the lights out and parked the cars around the corner. No chance we're home.
That's it.
The Delta Force going back from his car in the dark driveway. All right. Rob Pizzola joins us on Wednesdays here on the program. He's a professional sports gambler, and he comes to us courtesy of Forward Progress, part of the Hammer Betting Network. And you can check out Forward Progress on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure you follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. I saw you on Twitter. Was it a party you were at? You were at a wine and cheese thing.
Yeah, it's Halloween and cheese. We do the Friday before Halloween every year. Everyone who shows up has to bring a cheese and a bottle of wine. I unfortunately fell on Saturday this year. Usually we do it Friday, and I had to work Sunday NFL, and I was not in good shape from the amount.
What kind of cheese did you bring?
My wife would have took care of that. I can't tell you. I didn't. I said, pick up a couple for us. Yeah.
Pick up a couple cheese.
Yeah, I did. I did the wine. I brought two bottles. I did the wine for us, and she did the cheese.
Are you a wine guy? Do you know wines?
I'm not like an expert. I drink wine. You know, I could probably tell you the difference between a $15 bottle and a $50 bottle if I had a sip, but I'm not like a wine snob or anything. You know, the hints of oak or vanilla, you know what I like. I'm not that guy. Right?
I hate that person, Rob.
Yeah. You're a Pinot Grigio guy. You've got it written all over your face. I could tell.
Cab Savs for the Pizzolas. Yeah.
You ever heard of an Aperol Spritz?
Oh yeah. It's fine.
It's a hot new drink. Everybody's talking about it.
It's a nice summer beverage.
It's terrific.
Put a little orange in there. Yeah.
Rob, he acts like they just invented it.
It's the hot new drink. I can't help it when things become popular. I mean, I was in on it before you guys, so you're a little jealous, and it's totally understandable.
I don't, Solana crowd, I don't know how you work with this guy.
Every day.
Well, I'm only in a good mood because my wife crashed the car. Normally, I'm not this giddy during the show. We'll see you, Rob.
All right, guys. Good luck this week.
Sure. Must think I'm some sort of sociopath. All right, we got to take a quick break here. I always enjoy our segments with Rob, and I can do that for hours and hours and hours. But we'll take a quick break, and we'll get things situated when we come back.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
Hawk and Crowder.
Solana's got to get out of here because he's got a Heat game to attend tonight at the Kaseya Center, and he'll be on the air at 6:15 with pre-heat. Dan Day will fill in for him in the 5 o'clock hour. But before you go, Solana, do we have a couple of seconds here where we can play the DBJ calls from Saturday? Because we haven't yet done that this week.
Absolutely. We definitely do.
Okay. We gave DBJ, remember, it was his father's 91st birthday, Don Bailey Sr. Crowder, and so he wanted some, music from his era, but we kind of snuck in Uncle Luke, the birthday song. This is what we gave DBJ to do.
Go Sheila, it's your birthday! Go Sheila, it's your birthday! Go Ferdy, it's your birthday! Go Ferdy, it's your birthday! Go Anna, it's your birthday! Go Anna, it's your birthday!
And he said, maybe I'll do one or two names. And I said, let's get all eight lines, four names. Let's get all eight lines in there. Let's hear what Don Bailey Jr. did during the game against FSU Saturday night.
23-7 Miami. Martinez in the game, 4:39 to play. From the 7-yard line of Florida State, Miami going left to right. Ward ducks in under center. Takes the snap. Toss to Martinez. It's going to be a pass by Arroyo. He throws. It's caught. Ward's got it for a touchdown. Touchdown, Miami. The moment of magic that Miami wanted, and it comes courtesy of Arroyo, the Cam Ward, and Miami leads it 29-7.
Go Sheila, it's your birthday. Go Sheila, it's your birthday. Go Freddie, it's your birthday. Go Freddie, it's your birthday. Go Annette, it's your birthday. Go Annette, it's your birthday. Go Daddy, it's your birthday. Go Daddy, it's your birthday.
Made it Daddy at the end for his dad. That was good. That was all right. Not a bad job by him. And then we had given him several lines. The only other one he did, we had given him a very old Gene Vincent song, Bebopalula.
Well, Bebopalula, she's my baby. Bebopalula, I don't mean maybe.
Let's hear how that sounded during the FSU game.
Ward takes, gives, Martinez right up the middle, into the end zone for a Miami touchdown. Martinez scores, and the sword falls on Florida State. Miami 35, FSU 7, and Damian Martinez just puts a cherry on top of the cake.
Way to finish him off, Damian Martinez. And well, Bebopalula, she's my baby. Bebopalula, I don't mean maybe. You know there's more to that, Joe.
I don't know what happened, but that's good. I did it.
He didn't even get it right. He didn't say Bebopalula. What did he say? Bebopalula?
Bebopalula, she's my baby. Bebopalula, I don't mean maybe.
Bebopalula.
I know what happened. That second Bebopalula, Joe snapped his neck over at him.
He got nervous.
Yeah.
The first Bebopalula, Joe started to look at him, and then he was like, Bebopalula.
Yep.
Bebopalula.
What did you just say?
All right. Well, good job by Don Bailey Jr. We'll give him some more lines. He'll join us tomorrow. And we'll give him some lines to work into the Duke game on Saturday. 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up next. We'll get some headlines and get right into it.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Hawk and Crowder.